Let's read together Job 38, verses 1 through 38. In this chapter, we have the first half of God's first speech to Job. Let's begin by reading the first three verses of the chapter. Job chapter 38, beginning with verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." Let's begin our study of this first part of God's first speech to Job with some background notes. We come now in the dialogues with Job to the speeches of God himself. After reading the long speeches of Job's four counselors in chapters 3 through 37 of Job, it is with a sense of relief that we finally have before us the counsel of the Lord himself to Job concerning Job's situation. Now, the most amazing thing about the Lord's counsel to Job is that the Lord doesn't give Job any answers for why Job is suffering. In fact, the Lord doesn't even mention Job's suffering in his dialogues with Job. In chapters 38 through 41, the Lord gives two speeches, and after each speech, Job is given a chance to respond. God's first speech is in chapters 38 and 39. We see in verse 1 of chapter 38 that the Lord answered Job out of the storm or whirlwind. Whether or not Job's four friends heard what God said to Job, we can't say for sure. But they certainly were aware of God's coming to communicate with Job in the windstorm. In fact, they probably thought God was coming to judge Job for his claims of innocence, maybe even take Job's life. After all, it was a windstorm that was the means by which the lives of Job's children were taken. In any event, the Lord confronts Job by saying, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" In other words, Job, your questions and comments are only serving to becloud and confuse matters rather than clarifying anything. "Now, Job, if you think you know so much, gird up your loins, or prepare yourself like a man." That is, get ready and prepare yourself for a real workout. "You've questioned my ways of judgment. Now I'm going to question you," says the Lord. And that brings us to our first doctrinal point for this first speech of God to Job, which is, in his first speech, God questions Job about the physical world. In his first speech, God questions Job about the physical world. Now, we will see that in his two speeches, God will ask Job more than 70 questions. These questions are designed to lead Job and us as well to take a right and humble position before God. God is the creator. We are only creatures. How dare we question any of God's ways? In verses 4 through 7, God questions Job about the foundation of the world. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line or measuring line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" You know, God would ask the same questions of scientists today. That is, scientists who don't recognize God as the creator. They were not here when God created this world and hung the earth in space. And yet they defiantly claim that they know for sure that it all came about from a big bang of something that came out of nothing. Talk about kissing your brains goodbye. It's much easier and much more logical to believe in the God of the Bible. A significant truth about angels is taught in verse 7, where they are referred to again as the sons of God, as we saw back in chapters 1 and 2. Notice at creation, all the angels shouted for joy. Everything was in beautiful harmony. The fall of Lucifer had not yet taken place. Also in Ezekiel chapter 28, we see that Satan was in the Garden of Eden in his unfallen state. Read Ezekiel chapter 28 in this connection. It was probably man's creation in the image of God that triggered Satan's pride. Let's now read verses 8 through 11 of Job 38. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop? Verses 8 through 11. In these verses, we see God's sovereign control over the waters of the earth in the questions that God asked Job. Job, who separated the land from the seas? Who established the ocean boundaries? Who controls the waves of the sea? I wonder if the disciples thought of these questions from the book of Job when the Lord Jesus calmed the stormy Sea of Galilee. In verses 12 through 15, God questions Job concerning the control of light and darkness. Let's read these verses. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld and the upraised arm is broken. We see in these verses that only God can bring the morning light to dispel the darkness so that we can see details, even the details of a clay seal, verse 14. And notice how God uses the light to shake out the wicked who love the darkness, the wicked who lift up their arms to do their evil deeds. And Job, what about all those unseen realms? Verses 16 through 18. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Job, you don't even have a clue concerning these unseen things, let alone control them, as I do, says God. Again, God questions Job about Job's obvious lack of knowledge concerning light and darkness in verses 19 and 20. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home. Verses 19 and 20. And then in verse 21, God speaks to Job with great irony. Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? I suspect Job's attitude was already beginning to change. But God continues to question Job. In verses 22 through 30, Job is asked further questions about the weather that he can't answer. Job chapter 38, beginning now with verse 22. Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused or divided, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste, and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew, from whose womb comes the ice, and the frost of heaven, who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. In verse 23, notice again, as we saw back in chapter 37, how God uses the weather not only to make the land productive, but also to subdue his enemies. As verse 8 of Psalm 148 says, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Psalm 148, verse 8. Now in verses 31 through 33 of Job 38, God questions Job about the constellations of the stars. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Meseroth or constellations in their seasons? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? God not only created the stars, but controls their movements as well. As Colossians 1:17 says, in him all things hold together. Now in verses 34 through 38, the Lord asked Job further questions about the weather. Job chapter 38, beginning now with verse 34. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the mind? Or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clogs cling together? Job is further humbled here in these verses, not only by being asked who controls the weather, but Job, can you control the weather? God, in his omniscience, not only knows the number of clouds and lightning bolts around the earth at any given moment, but in his omnipotence, he can speak to them and they obey. In his first speech, God questions Job about the physical world. And that brings us to our practical application from this first half of God's first speech to Job. Don't ignore the weather factor. Don't ignore the weather factor. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we are told, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, does God ever direct our path by using the weather? Of course he does. He works all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:11, God works all things after the counsel of his will. Does that include the weather? Of course. Don't ignore the weather factor. Now, we've seen in this chapter, Job 38, that God controls the weather and uses it not only to make the land productive, but to accomplish his purposes, programs, and plans. This is not only in reference to lands and nations, but certainly is in reference to individual people as well. Illustration. When we made our move from Chicago to Rhode Island, we at first did not have the finances to make the move. We prayed. A few weeks before our move was scheduled, our vehicles were damaged by a sudden hailstorm in the Chicago area. There was no mechanical damage to the vehicles, but because every body part received multiple hail dings, we were able to collect several thousand dollars, which paid for our move. Thank you, Lord. And we found out just last year that the hail dings, which we never did get fixed, did not take away from the trade-in value of the vehicles. Again, praise the Lord. So God used the hailstorm on behalf of Dr. Dave and his wife and the needed finances for their move from Chicago to Rhode Island. Don't ignore the weather factor.